Hello and welcome to the AgEcon MT podcast, part of the AgEconMT.com information website and a production of the Department of Agricultural Economics and Economics at Montana State University. The podcast series is where we discuss topics and issues in agricultural and natural resources economics and chat with people who can provide unique perspectives into those issues. I'm Anton Beckerman, and today, as part of our Spotlight series, we're joined by Kate Fuller, one of the regular contributors to the AgEcon Montana blog and podcast series. Kate is an assistant professor in the department and joined the faculty in 2014 after completing her PhD at the University of California, Davis. Welcome, Kate.
Thank you.
Kate, let's kick things off with you telling us a little bit about your research and professional backgrounds. You're an extension economist, so that puts you in a slightly unique situation within kind of the academic institution. Most people don't think of what extension economists do. So maybe tell us a little bit about that and just what you see your research and extension goals in Montana to be, and just a little bit to introduce you to the listeners.
Sure. Well, so as an extension economist, I spend a lot of time driving around Montana, giving workshops and seminars and meeting with people, which I really like a lot. I don't teach on campus, but I do teach a lot in the community. I kind of have two main areas of focus right now in my research and in my extension programming. So the first of which is ag pests and diseases. So in that, I'm looking at the economic effects of pests and diseases in agriculture and the benefits and costs of different technologies and farm management strategies to address them. So that's kind of one thing.
Okay, so why is that important to Montana? Is there anything that's going on in Montana that's particularly important right now? Or why are you looking at those issues?
Well, there are a number of different ag pests and diseases. There are more than I can list right now.
So what are some of the big ones, or maybe what are the ones that you're looking at?
Well, so I have a couple of research projects looking at different Montana ag pests and diseases. So I've got one a research project that's looking at the economics of potato virus Y, which is a really economically important potato disease. And in that project, I'm working with Nina Zydak, who works at the Montana Seed Potato Certification Lab. And we're looking at the costs of PVY to seed potato growers, but also to commercial potato growers, and also some of the economic benefits and costs of running the program that they do.
Is there a big industry of potatoes in Montana?
So Montana is really interesting because we don't have a large commercial industry. We actually have almost no commercial industry at all. But we have an important seed industry. So we have a lot of seed production that gets sent out across the United States. So in that way, we are really important to potato production across the U.S.
So potatoes actually come from Montana and not Idaho.
Well, Idaho has their own seed potato production as well, but Montana does quite a bit, and it has some of the most stringent disease tolerances in the country. So looking at some of the trade-offs in having such a high disease tolerance has been really interesting. We're finding that there's definitely a payoff to doing that.
What else are you working on?
Another pest and disease project. This is a little different. I have a project with Jane Mangold, and she's the invasive plant specialist here with MSU Extension, and we are looking at the economics of noxious weeds on Montana rangeland.
What are you finding?
Well, we're finding that there's definitely costs for producers, so in terms of doing management activities like spraying and releasing biocontrol agents. But also there's a associated economic cost in foregone production. So we see fewer animals on land with noxious weeds. One of the interesting things that I've found out as a part of this is that while there are definite costs for cattle producers, there can actually be benefits for sheep producers
What do you mean?
So if you're familiar with sheep,
somewhat,
you might know that they will eat just about anything. So sheep will eat many noxious weeds. So some livestock producers will pay sheep producers to come graze on their property for noxious weed management. So that provides the sheep producer a benefit, both in terms of forage, but also because of that payment. But overall, we definitely see net economic costs from weeds here.
So that's a little bit of the research that you've done. What are some of the extension projects that you've been currently doing?
Yeah, so the other big area of my focus lately has been in ag land leasing. And that's been a lot of my extension programming through the last year. So with that, I've put together a series of workshops where I go out and I talk to people about different forms of leases, so different ways that you can set leases up, ways to use variable rates to manage risk, different terms and conditions that you can include, and different things to think about. Because if you're talking about land, which is most of the lease programming that I do, land is very different, even in Montana. So some land has a lot of improvements, say really nice fencing or some buildings. Other land doesn't. So those are things to think about when you're looking at some of the statewide average rates that I think people often go to.
So do you have any upcoming events where you'll be presenting on this information?
I don't have any leasing events coming up.
Okay, but when you do, what we do on the AggieConMT.com website is post whenever one of our faculty from either the AggieCon or the Econ part of our department is presenting somewhere off campus, outside of the university, or on campus. We'll post those events, and if you're interested, you can visit the AggieConMT.com website and find out about them.
Yes, and I just saw that. I think it's tonight. There's a cattle outlook in White Sulphur Springs that Eric Belasco is giving.
That's right. So if you're there at White Sulphur Springs, it's going to be a party. So check it out on the website if you're interested. So we've talked a little bit about the things that you have been doing. Anything on the horizon? Anything that you've been particularly interested in? And how do you think those interests are going to intersect with some of the things that producers and agribusinesses in the Northern Great Plains are interested in?
Sure. So I haven't mentioned this yet, but a lot of the extension programming I did during my first year here was on USDA risk management program. So a lot of stuff that came out of the 2014 Farm Bill. And so analysis into how those programs have panned out in this Farm Bill. And then as we start ramping up for the next Farm Bill,
it's coming up.
I'm not quite ready. But as we start thinking about how to keep or change those programs, relevant analysis is going to be really important.
So why for Montana or why for the Northern Great Plains? Is there anything that's particularly of note that you're going to be looking at, or just in general, whenever we have a Farm Bill, it's something is going to come up that people did not expect?
Yeah, well, whenever we have a Farm Bill, it's a really big deal. Out here in the Northern Great Plains, we have a lot of commodity crop production that falls under the Farm Bill. So things like wheat, barley, some of the pulse crops as well, those all fall under the commodity crop programs. So producers here have a real stake in how those programs end up getting sorted out. Some of the livestock disaster assistance programs are really important as well. We have a lot of livestock production out here.
And obviously, you know, if you're out there and you're a producer, I think the weather this year has been fairly favorable, but in the past few years we've had quite a bit of drought, so some of those programs have been pretty useful.
Yeah, and that also depends a lot on who you're talking to.
Sure, absolutely.
So if you've talked to someone in southeastern Montana lately, they're definitely seeing a lot of drought. and maybe benefiting from some of those disaster assistance programs. I don't know if they've kicked in yet.
So this project that we're working on, and you're a big part of it, it's fairly new. We launched it on August 1st, and we've had some pretty good content already up with blog posts and podcasts. How do you see yourself being a part of this project? It's fairly unique. There's not a lot of these similar types of outreach activities out there. What do you look forward to in contributing, and what do you hope to get out of this?
Yeah, well, I think one of the things for me that I'm really lucky in my position is that I get to interact with producers and folks around the state a lot. So, like I mentioned, I drive around a lot, and I love that. But I think this will be a way for people that are on campus more to interact with people around the state and the region. But it'll also be an opportunity for me to get to know people kind of in a different way. So I'm hopeful that we'll engage some people that I might not otherwise get to interact with.
Yeah, I think that's a big goal of this project, and hopefully we can keep consistent set of information rolling out and getting people to interact with us. And we want to thank you, Kate, for contributing. This is a big part of having our contributors talking and posting information. We look forward to many more of your insights, whether in blog posts or future podcasts. Of course, you as a listener can access these and any of the past podcasts and blogs that we've put onto the ageconmt.com website. We also encourage you to be the first to know about new episodes. You can subscribe via iTunes on the website. And you can also, as I've mentioned earlier, you can learn more about the upcoming events by signing up for the newsletter that we send out whenever there's a new event that's scheduled either on campus here in Bozeman or somewhere else around the state. And of course, part of the big effort that we have is to create a way to interact with you, the listeners. So if you log on to the ageconmt.com website, there are numerous ways that you can provide feedback or questions or comments. There's a form. You can email us. You can use Twitter or Facebook. We're always looking for new ideas, because if we don't know what you guys are interested in, we might not know exactly what information to provide. So, and we look at all of your ideas and all of your questions and almost always try to answer those. So for now, I'm Anton Beckerman, and I want to thank you for listening. And as always, we hope that the weather is always in your favor.